people were selling sheep and goats and oxen and doves, birds, there in that court of the Gentiles, a place that was set so that others who kind of might be interested in trying to find out some things could enter in if they were not Jews. So everyone was welcome to the temple. They would come into the court of the Gentiles and they could, Jesus will teach there a bunch of times. And anybody could come in and ask their questions and try to find out, what is this really all about?
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts, as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Jesus clears the temple as our study of John continues in chapter 2, verse 12. Here's Pastor Bob.
After this, he went down to Capernaum. Now, when we say down, he didn't go down south. Capernaum's just right over from Cana, not very far. But Capernaum is on the Sea of, or at the Sea of Galilee, so you go down to the sea, get it? So don't get your north and south confused here. He went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers, remember her sons, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, birds, and the changers of money sitting. He found them sitting in the temple. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, small ropes, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, interesting, he drove everybody else out, but he said to the ones that are selling doves, take these things hence, or away from here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And verse 17 says, the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. When Jesus entered into the temple area after arriving in Jerusalem, getting ready for the Passover, Jesus sees it had become a huge marketplace, like a big farmer's market. It just got booths and tables all the way around the court of the Gentiles, a place that was set so that others who kind of might be interested in trying to find out some things could enter in if they were not Jews. So everyone was welcome to the temple. They would come into the court of the Gentiles and they could, Jesus will teach there a bunch of times. And anybody could come in and ask their questions and try to find out, what is this really all about? The Bible tells you to be able to, all of us, not you and me, to be able to give an answer to everyone who asks you why you believe what you believe. They're not saying be able to answer every question they have about the Bible. No, you know, nobody can answer every question, but they're saying be able to tell them why you believe and where you see that in God's Word. So Jesus sees a huge marketplace going on, sheep and goats and birds and oxen and things for temple sacrifices. Now, it's convenient. There's nothing wrong with convenience. And it was somebody had a great idea, in other words, they could make those available right there because you've just come from Syria or you've just come from Lebanon or somewhere there coming in required to be at the feast. Maybe you didn't have time to bring a lamb for the Passover. Maybe you didn't have time to pick anything up for the offerings, you know, for the law that you have. So you got the oxen. So it's convenient, and that's a great idea. But you can see how this great idea is now out of control, and they've forgotten what they're supposed to be doing there. Now, think about you and me. We have some great ideas, but if we're not careful, we're doing something with the right kind of mind, but the heart's all messed up. Get it? Because they got sheep and birds and goats and oxen for the sacrifice. And of course, the tables of the money changers. Well, they're just trying to make it convenient so that you can change it all into temple coin. And it was commonly known, and you'll see it talked about in the Gospels, it was commonly known that these people running these tables, selling the little stands where the sheep and the goats and the oxen and the doves, you know, the doves were for the poorer folk that couldn't afford the larger animals. The Old Testament law made provision for those who couldn't afford much. So, you see, it's well known that these people running these markets were charging killer high prices. Well, duh, here's your chance to make a fortune, right? People are required to come to town. They're required to take part. You just happen to have the little sheeps and the little lambs and all right here. You just happen to have the temple currency right here. It's convenient, but then they're literally stealing from the peoples what they're doing. They were charging super high prices, unfair prices. The money changers were making a killing on their exchange rates. They're gouging the people, literally stealing from everybody. So what could have been a nice little idea or concept and convenient turned out to be a big old mess where some of the people were making a fortune. Can you see the spiritual condition of Israel when Jesus walked the streets there? You can see it. Instead of a heart to worship the Lord, there, even in the court of the Gentiles, there in the temple area, instead of a heart to worship the Lord, it had become a religion. We're required to do this. Well, you know, let's just make it easy for everybody. And let's just make sure this is available and that's available. Oh, it's a little more expensive, but you could go 10 miles down the road and get it cheaper. But, you know, you're going to walk or take your donkey or whatever, and it's a hassle. And we're right here. Sorry, dude. So they're just killing everybody, ripping everybody off. The spiritual condition, instead of a heart to worship the Lord, it had become a religion, something you got to do, and so, you know, you're going to have to pay since you got to do it anyway. It's become a religion. And religion, everybody, if you'd like to take a look, has become big business. I received a magazine, and it was an end-of-the-year edition, and they listed the top 100 mega churches in the United States. I didn't look to see if I was within there. And I'm looking in some of the churches, and they bring in $1.5 million every Sunday morning. And you think, wow, that could really feed a lot of people, a lot of places. But that's their business. It's not for me to decide. But notice something. Look at the spiritual condition of the church today in the whole world, not just America, but in the world. It's become a religion. It's what you do. You know, we're Christians. We do this. We do this. It's what you do. Where's the heart? Take note. This is God Almighty in human flesh, Jesus Christ. Take note of his response to what he saw. He found in the temple, verse 14, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting at their tables. He made a scourge out of small little ropes. He made a whip. This is God in human flesh. He drove them all out of that area. Now, listen closely. He's got this small little, he goes off to the side. He makes a little whip. And he drives them out, and he also drives out the animals. Do you see, he drove out the people, He drove out the people. Look, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money. He dumped it out, and he shoved their tables over. This is God. But he spoke to the ones that were selling the doves. Of course, he's speaking to everyone, but listen, take these things away from here, out of here, hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. So take note of Jesus' response to what he is seeing. He is, the term the Bible uses is righteous indignation. He's angry, but notice that when my Lord gets angry, he thinks perfectly clear. Remember the Bible, go look this up. Be ye angry, and at the same time, don't sin. Is that possible? Do this. Yeah, be ye angry and don't sin. Why? You've got to remain under control. Let the Spirit continue to control. But there's a time to be angry at some of the things that we're seeing, at how some people are being treated and harmed. There's a time. But you don't go out of control and start shooting and burning things down and carrying signs and hitting people with them. Notice what Jesus did. He was angry. It was righteous indignation. But he never got out of control. You won't see Jesus. You walk with him every day, verse by verse. Go walk with him with us. You will never see him go out of control. Be just lose it and then slap somebody and go, I'm sorry, I apologize. He doesn't do that. And we don't either. That's not what we do. We cannot do that. But we can be angry. He was never out of control. He took the time when he saw it bothered his heart so badly that he took the time to make a little small whip out of some cords. Then he drove the merchants out and the animals out of the temple area. Was it wrong to have those animals for sacrifices there? No. What was wrong was the heart behind every bit of it. Get the point? They're going to be bringing some of those animals back once they purchase them to offer them for sacrifice. There's nothing wrong with the sacrifices. That's what God called them to do under the old covenant, under the Mosaic covenant, the law. So there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with everything is the heart behind it. Everybody get this. He knocked over the tables of the money changers. Here's what I look at. The ones that sold the birds, the doves, he commanded you just carry them out. So that shows me again, he is not out of control. He is not losing his mind and going to come to his senses and say, oh, sorry, guys, I just went off. No, God doesn't just go off. Think about it. Nobody lost anything that day. The money changers, he poured their money on the ground. All they had to do was what? Pick it up and take it out. He drove the animals out. Did he drive them out and then away? Nobody lost any animals. Nobody lost any income that day from what Jesus did. The ones that sold birds, he didn't shove those tables over or shove those. Why? Because if he would have broken a cage, a bird would fly instantly away. True? And so no one lost any of their property or any of their finances. They may have lost a few sales, but they're going to live. They've got the Passover week, and they're going to be selling. Don't you worry. So notice, he didn't knock the tables over with the birds on them. He's not going to let anybody lose anything that's theirs. He's just saying, take it out of here. Just take them out of here. He didn't cause anyone to lose anything physically. But he was setting everyone straight. And listen to the language. I'll put it in American. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise, a place to get rich quick. Don't do that. It's okay if you get rich. Work hard, sell, do your best. But to cheat and to rob people, even the poor and the rich as well, that's not the heart of God. That's not what this is all about. So he's saying, this get rich quick. No, that's not what this is all about. He's not suggesting the sacrifices are wrong, nor is he suggesting that they shouldn't have the animals there. He's rebuking them because they were all about the money. And that's one thing we don't want to be. Man, if you've got a business, do it good. Do the best you can do. Do what God's given you to do. But don't cheat and rob and steal and hurt people just to get an extra penny or two. That's not the heart of God. That's his point. This place, he says, will be a place where others could come in and find out about God. You have questions? The Gentiles could even come into the court of Gentiles and find out about God. And instead, everybody's all set up to make a killing because the holiday's here. Let's get it. Malachi chapter 3, I'm just going to read the first three verses, if I may. Behold, God says, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. We just watched it in John chapter 2. Shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap, like a bleach. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Jesus, we're told Messiah is going to come to the temple and he's going to clear it out and say, straighten up. Everybody, this is about my Father's house. We're told this, Jesus' disciples, in verse, 17, remembered what the psalmist had prophesied. Messiah, I'm going to paraphrase, would be completely consumed with the determination that the worship of the Father should be pure and honest worship. That's what I'm reading here in verse 17. His disciples remembered it was written that the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. In our language, Messiah is completely consumed with the determination that the worship that goes on in the Father's house should be pure and honest from the heart, just like it should be here, just like it should be anywhere where believers, real followers of the Lord get together. It's honest. True worship, that's why we do it. Not because we have to, we get to. Not because we have to, we really want to get together. We understand that it encourages us, that we fellowship with one another, that we pray for one another, that we encourage one another. The psalm they're talking about is Psalm 69. And so let me read Psalm 69, verses 7, 8, and 9. Verses 7 through 9. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. It's consumed me. And the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. The disciples remembered Psalm 69 when Jesus cried out to those people, take these things away from here. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Notice, Messiah is consumed with the determination that the worship there at the temple or wherever God is worshiped is pure and honest and true. This, what you're doing here, he says, is not what this place is for. The Gospels, all four, when you put them together, record Jesus cleansing the temple two times in his ministry. First, when he began his ministry, and the second time, when he came to Jerusalem for the last time, when he was the Passover lamb and went to the cross, he cleansed the temple again, two times, in 3.5 years, to start his ministry and to end it. Well, end it there. records two times. Here at the beginning of his ministry and there at the end. The first time, here, the people were shocked. It scared them. They didn't understand, who is this? Why is this guy doing what he's doing? Who does he think he is? That kind of thing, right? Because he's just entered his public ministry. Most people don't know who this guy is. So they were shocked. The second time that he did it, it angered the chief priests and Pharisees so badly that it guaranteed his crucifixion. When he entered into town the second time, after riding in on that donkey that day on Palm Sunday, he went right to the temple and cleansed the temple, chased people out again, guaranteeing his death on the day of Passover. Why do we do it? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? A lot say, yeah, I do. Sometimes it's easy for me and for you to forget what this is really all about. It's really all about others. It's really all about the one true God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus so wanted everyone to worship his Father. Because God, he is the one true God. There are no others. All kinds of people worship all kinds of different gods out there. But even God himself, in the book of Isaiah a couple times, says, I am God, there is no other. If there is another, show him to me. And then he says, I'll prove to you I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens. And I'll get it 100% right every time. So God says to be God, you have to be 100% correct. Never make an error. Why do we worship him? Why do we love him? Well, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. It wasn't my idea to love God. He came and got me. I didn't even know I was lost. Did you? And he came and got me. And people kept saying, you're lost. Like, I'm not lost. I know what I'm doing. No, you don't get it. You're blind. I'm not blind. I see pretty well. See, I didn't get it. But then something changed. I received the Lord and something changed. I thought, what's different now? I cared what God might think. Do you ever catch yourself thinking, boy, God's probably mad at me now. You ever think that? Raise your hand if you've ever thought, boy, you know, you'd never think that if you weren't truly saved. Think about it. If you didn't care about God and didn't believe in God and didn't care nothing about it, you'd never worried about what he thought, would you? Somebody said to me one time, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I said, that's proof you haven't. What do you mean? Because if you had, you wouldn't care. To reject God completely? You wouldn't even care. You say, I don't care. There's no God. That's dopey. And I don't believe in hell, and I don't believe in China, and I don't believe in nothing. But if you do, if there's that spark in there, you say, Lord, I need to confess. I'm dummy. And God smiles and said, I said it first. I know you said I was a dummy, and I keep living to prove it. The dangerous thing that you and I can do is be just like the Jews are there, getting ready for that Passover celebration, going through the motions because it's Sunday or because it's some holy day of obligation or because it's some... When does the church meet? Every day, all the time. You know, we sometimes go out to breakfast and where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, Jesus is right there having breakfast with it. Where two or three are gathered, you got the church going on. So it could be at home, could be at school, could be anywhere you go. Where are our hearts at?
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.